Hi, everybody. This is J.A. Dava, and welcome to Challenging Your Status Quo. It's our podcast, and it's a podcast that will absolutely challenge your professional and vocational side of you. Part of the reason why we're here is to make sure that all of you walk away with something to help your sales business, your leadership business, as well as just in the culture of your company. Now, we introduce challenging your status quo very specifically. We break it down and we're willing to go here with you outside of your own vocational concerns. We absolutely believe that there are five well-beings on this that we address on the podcast. And for your success to be more whole, we believe that it is five well-beings, vocational being the key. Of the five, but here are the four other ones: spiritual well-being, relational well-being, physical well-being, vocational well-being, as well as philanthropical well-being. And basically what that stands for in the last one there is, what are you doing with the blessings that have been given to you? Part of the reason why we love bringing to you challenging your status quo is we believe there is an A status quo, that everyone has their own. And the guest we have today is actually somebody who will probably challenge everyone's status quo. And by the way, in the well-beings, we usually try to concentrate on a specific well-being on top of your vocation. I think we're going to cover just about all of them. Very specifically, we're definitely going to challenge the philanthropical side. We're definitely going to challenge relational-wise, as well as the spiritual, all mixed in, to help you increase or to succeed vocationally. And I am Jay Dava. I am one of the co-hosts. Right next to me is my business partner at Latreia Coaching and Consulting. And our information is down below. Please, please take the time. If you like what you guys are listening to, make sure you subscribe so that you never, ever miss any of our episodes. But enough about me, enough about the show. I want to get to our guest. But before I do that, I want to introduce my business partner, Paul Waldrop. Paul, how are you?
Jay, it's good to see you, my friend. I love doing these together. What's really cool is you never know who we're going to bring on and what you're going to learn on these podcasts. And that way, it's not going to be stale and it's not going to be static. It's going to be very dynamic. It's going to be very robust. So many different topics that we cover, but it's so exciting. And I love your introduction on the well-beings. What I think is really important to understand is that you're not going to ever optimize your vocation, your business, your execution if you're suffering in another area of your life. I mean, we don't live as independent, fragmented beings. You know, if we're hurting in one area, it's going to impact another. And at Latreia, I think that's what sets us apart, is because we're willing to go there. We're willing to help in the area that might be challenged. It might be at a deficit. It might be hurting you. Because once we address that and work through it together, it allows you to optimize the other areas of your life to really perform at the level you want to. So that holistic approach is something we've done from day one. We will always do it. And the guests that we bring on to this show help to just continue to build that foundation to build on. So we really appreciate everyone tuning in and just being a part of this, because it's so important that we really help you in all of these areas, for sure. But it's a great day, J.A. This is just, it's really our mission to do this, really, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Now, here's a hint already, Tom. Yeah. I mean, I don't fill this t-shirt as well as he does, by the way, but when he comes on, I'm going to, what do you think, Paul? Should we just get going?
He's got the cool factor. Let me just put it that way. I wish I had the cool factor. I don't.
What did he do earlier, Paul? Did he do this to you or something like that? And
we're doing good, right? We're doing good. So, come on, brother. He's a cool guy. What I love, though, is he is a renovation expert. Okay. And that's where my heart is. We both did our little stints at, we both did our stints at Wells Fargo. Really, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage was a great enterprise. It still is a great company. But we did renovation while we were there. And I'm telling you, I love the renovation program. It's just in my blood. meticulous. It's not for everybody. It's detailed. There's three major components that you're working through. But I love that. It was a big deal. And that's all I focused on. So I did that for a while, but then I went to do some other things that Wells Fargo asked me to do. But I just love it. I could talk renovation all day long. But when we're talking about today's topic, when we're talking about renovation, we're going to talk business. You're going to walk away with some great nuggets. But our guest is very, very special. Make no mistake about that. And when Vince comes on, he's going to talk about renovation in a little bit of a different way. So it's going to be it's going to be a soul challenging as well as a mind challenging episode. So anyway, I'm super excited to have Vince on, J.A. He's got some really, really good things to share. So I'm super excited about today's episode.
Well, let's bring him on. You know, first of all, not only is this t-shirt Renovate Me, but this book right here is just the beginning hint of what really is going to be covered today. It's not just about renovation loans, guys. It's about renovating you. Okay. So with that said, I would like to bring Vince on. Vince Napolitan, Mr.
Hey, Vince. Hey, buddy. Listen, thank you so much for being on with us. And I'll tell you, we love having great business people on this pod show. But what makes it even better is when we have great people. And that Renovate Me just goes far beyond just business. And that makes you a very, very special human being. And so I'm really excited to be talking about the whole Renovate Me concept and some of the other nuggets that you get to share with us. And we're so privileged and humbled that you would spend your busy time. Looks like you're traveling on the road in a hotel room, but you're still spending time mm-hmm. with us today. So tell us a little bit about what's keeping you busy right now in this market. What's going on?
Oh, man. You know, it's first of all, thank you for the opportunity. I'm blessed to be here and be with you guys today. And to be honest with you, you know, Paul, J.A., I'm just out here living my best life, man. I really am. I'm traveling all over the country. I'm speaking about Renovate Me. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm out there delivering the message that everybody needs to hear, which is, you know, listen, every time you go through a certain point in your life, there's always a chance and an opportunity to do better, tear down, rebuild, rise above. That's what we're doing. That's the message that I'm sending to everybody on a personal level. And currently right now I'm in Miami. I'm at the NAREP conference. And a week ago, I was at the NAMBA conference, making appearances, showing up, just shaking hands with everybody and just putting the word out there about Renovate Me as a entity of support and help. And you mentioned renovation lending. Correct. I've been in the renovation business 23 years, and I am known as Mr. Renovation throughout the country. But Renovate Me is something special to me because I'm doing something for others now. And that's why I'm repping the Renovate Me brand. I see you got the shirt on too. So that's awesome, J.A. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Vince, I got to flash this book on again because we're going to reference it at the very end of this thing.
Love it.
And hang on to your seats, guys, because the third part of today is going to be how it all relates to your business. But I can't, Vince, man, when I interviewed you, I knew there was something unbelievable that I'm not sure people can 100% relate to it, but everyone can absolutely learn from it, right? And yep. So this book, which, by the way, I'm one of the guys who actually thought this book was about renovation loans, and it just wasn't. Yeah. Okay. So Vince, it's your t-shirt. It's what you're traveling around the country for right now. Yep. Tell me about this book, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah. And I get that a lot. I get that a lot from people being in the mortgage and real estate industry for the last 23 years. Everybody thought that the book was about renovation loans and renovation lending. And when they got it and they read it, they were thrown for a loop. They were like, wow, this has nothing to do with renovation loans. And truth be told, Renovate Me is my life story that I wanted to share with people. I wanted to help others. And it's a very, very special time for me right now, which is why I'm traveling all over the country. My second book is getting ready to come out, which is called Renovating Me. And I'm also celebrating 25 years to the day in October, October 1st. I will be celebrating 25 years. I was sitting in a jail cell. I was facing multiple felony charges. My life was about to be flipped upside down. And I had to renovate myself. I had to change. And I wanted it. And I needed it. And I needed something to happen. I needed a blessing in my life. I needed to see the path. And that's really the story about Renovate Me, which is I take people through my life journey and I talk about the struggles and I talk about overcoming the obstacles in your life and defying the odds. And truth be told, it's a story about a fighter, a warrior, which is why you see the Spartan logo on the shirt, because the warrior, what I tell everybody in my message is, you have to be a fighter in life, a fighter. Every day, you have to be ready to fight. And when I say every day you have to be ready to fight, I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm talking about fighting for things that you need in your life. And for example, if I need to succeed in my career, if I need to build and strengthen my relationship with my wife or my partner, or if I need to establish a better relationship with my children, that's what I'm talking about. You have to fight for that every day. You have to fight for a relationship. You have to fight to have great relationships with your children and your spouse. You have to fight to succeed in your career. You have to fight for everything in life. And you have to learn to not give up and keep fighting and keep going. Because at the end of the day, when you go to bed, tomorrow is never promised. You might not wake up the next day. And so my life, I live every day to the fullest. I give it 100% every day. Notice I didn't say 110, because the max capacity is 100. That's just a fact. And I will tell you right now, there's days where I know I didn't give it 100. But I take that, I reflect on that, and I rebuild for tomorrow. And so every day I do that. I continue to work on my journey. I continue to go out and do my best. I continue to help others. And that's the fighter. That's the fighter in all of us. And that's really the message that I share to people, and I give them my life story. To give you a little bit more about the book and a little bit more about my life and what I speak to people about, which is the Renovate Me portion, right? I come from a broken home. I was badly abused physically, mentally. I had my parents were very bad drug addicts and alcoholics. I lost every single family member in my life to drug overdose. I get a little choked up when I talk about it, because what people don't realize is vulnerability, it's hard. Yeah. And when you learn to open up and be real, it makes you a better person and it makes everybody around you better. So at the age of 11 years old, I was brutally beaten by my mother with a baseball bat. And I was removed from my home. I went to the hospital, and then I got out of the hospital and I got put into a group home called Child Haven. And I grew up in a group home called Child Haven in Las Vegas for a little while. And Child Haven ended up getting a hold of my father. I don't know how they did, but they did. And my father picked me up. And the very first thing he says to me is, "Do you have a place to go?" Now, mind you, I'm 11 years old, getting ready to have my 12th birthday. Doesn't ask me if I'm okay. Doesn't ask if anything is going on. He drops me off at a friend's house, never comes back. At the age of 12, I'm homeless. I'm literally eating out of trash cans, sleeping in parks, running the streets of Las Vegas by myself. By the age of 13, I joined a gang, and I ran with one of the most ruthless street gangs in the country. I did some things that I'm not proud of. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stole. I've done all kinds of things in my life that I'm not proud of. But I knew that I was better than that. I knew that I was different. And so going through the chapters of my life, being homeless, not having family, everybody turned their back on me. Society turned their back on me. When you're part of that life, a part of that world, people look at you different. When I was going to school and I was homeless, my backpack was filled with clothes, not books, not material to go to class to be prepared to learn. But teachers would look at me and think that I wasn't trying or I didn't want to be there. And so they looked at me different, not realizing that my life was in my backpack. That's all I had. I really went to school just so I could eat. That's why I went to school. I didn't go to school to learn. I went to eat. And of course, I would try to learn while I was there and I would do my part, but I never had the materials. I never had the money to get the things that I needed. So I would borrow, I'd get, you know, pencils, paper from friends, this and that. Never had a textbook with me because I had to keep them in my locker because I had nowhere to put them. But people judge. They judge the outside. That's what they see. But what they don't know is the inside of somebody. And so going through those stages of being homeless and going to school and running with a street gang, I reconnect with my father at the age of 15 years old, and I ask him for help. I ran into him at a grocery store, and he had all kinds of bling on, nice watch, gold chain, you know, everything. And I said, you know, hey, Dad, I was like, man, you know, it's good to see you. I could use a little help. He tells me to come over to his house, and he teaches me how to sell drugs. And he taught me how to chop up cocaine, break down bricks of weed, how to use the scales. He turned me into a drug dealer. At the age of 15, I am the largest drug dealer in the high schools of Las Vegas, running with the most notorious street gang in the country. I'm on a track to nowhere. It's not looking good. And one day I had an opportunity to really see life differently. And what I mean by that is I was jumped and robbed by another gang, a rival gang, that took all my stuff. They took all my drugs. They took all my money. They robbed me and they beat me pretty bad. So of course, in that street life, the only way to take care of that is retaliation. And that's the worst thing in the world. But I got a gun. They gave me a gun, fully loaded clip, and said, don't come back till the clip is empty. Go handle business. That was a defining moment in my life. Where I, you know, I've seen people get beaten down. I've seen people get killed. I've seen people get stabbed. I've been a part of that life. I knew I was better than I knew. I felt something. And like I said, that's where my life turned. And I said, I can't do this. I'm not a killer. This is not me. So I tried to separate myself. I tried to really focus on school, and I tried to just do better. I quit selling drugs to my dad after that. He didn't want anything to do with me after that anyway, because I couldn't pay him back for all the drugs that I lost. But I go get a job in the mall. I'm trying to go to school. I'm trying to do better for myself. And I'm constantly fighting every day to survive. Not only survive being homeless and everything that I was going through, but then trying to survive to change my life for the better. And every time I turned around, I'd get pulled back into that life. I got pulled back into that gang life. I got pulled back into these things. And again, you know, 25 years ago on October 1st, when I'm going to celebrate sitting in a jail cell and facing multiple felony charges, I needed a blessing. The blessing was my son. So that changed my life forever. Excuse me.
It's all right, buddy.
Some of us never had a chance. It's just a fact. You know, I've had to fight for everything in my life. So when I had my son, that was it. I had to step up. I had to change. That was the blessing that I got. And I knew that was a sign that said, here, you know, I know you're trying. So that's how it happened. So, you know, it's one of those things where you look at life and it's the unexpected. You don't know. But then when it comes and you really look at it, you understand. I knew my path was going to be different. And I didn't want to be like my parents. I didn't want to do drugs, so I never touched them. I wanted to be a better person. I didn't want to live in that gang life and sell drugs anymore. And so, yeah, my kids were my blessing. They saved my life. And that changed everything for me. But then I have my son, then I have my daughter, and then I become a full-time single father. The mother, great person, but just wasn't ready to step up and fulfill that obligation. But I was. So now I'm a kid raising kids. And let me tell you, the struggles of a single father coming from the life that I came from. I mean, again, fighter, right? Everything in my life I had to fight for. And I don't regret anything in my life. I learned from every single thing that I've gone through in my life. And I try to change and I try to be better. And then I look at it and I say, you know what? I can change and I can be better because look at where I was and look where I am now. That's the Renovate Me brand. Wow. That's the symbol of strength that I tell people. Raising my two kids, living in a one-bedroom apartment with bunk beds in the living room, working two jobs to make ends meet, just to keep the lights on and keep the rent paid. I know the struggles. I know what it's like. And I have been to the bottom of the bottom a couple of times in my life, literally came from the gutter. And I built everything that I have today. I fought for everything that I have today. And that's literally the story of Renovate Me. I've had to tear down, rebuild, and rise above. I had a need. That was my life. I had a need. I needed to change. I needed to step up and be a good father. I needed to be different. I needed to show everybody that they were wrong for counting me out and giving up on me. I needed to prove to everybody and prove to myself that I can do it. That's the Renovate Me brand. That's the book. That's the journey, the quick story. Obviously, the book's a lot longer than that. But, you know, and as you could see, on speaking tour on stage, I'll get on stage and I will get choked up sometimes. It happens. When you're putting your story out there and you're trying to help people and your story is real and it's genuine, you can't hold it back. there's still pain there. There's still scars, but you can do better. I forgave my parents. I talk about it in the book. I reconnected with my parents, both my mother and father, each of them a week before they both died. I had a St. Jude medallion card that I got when I was sleeping in a park at 12 years old from a lady that I saw walking her dog every day. She gives me this card and she sits down and talks to me and she asked me why I ran away from home. And I told her I'm not a runaway. I'm a throwaway. My family didn't want me. Nobody wanted me. They didn't want anything to do with me. And she gave me that card and told me to pray to it. And she told me blessings will happen in my life. I saw her for a year, every morning, like clockwork, walking her dog when I was sleeping in the park and getting ready to go to school and try to go on my day. After she gave me that card, I never saw that lady again. She just vanished. Gone. Crazy. Never saw her again. That card I prayed to and cried every night for years. I tried to give it to my mother my senior year when I knew I was going to leave the state of Las Vegas. I wanted to get out of Las Vegas. And I wanted to try to do something that nobody had ever done. I wanted to try to go to college. And my mother told me she was going to throw it away. She said, don't give it to me. I left it on the doorstep. I reconnect with my mother. Fast forward years later, I have a speaking event at the Mirage in Las Vegas. I'm going home to deliver my message of growing up in the streets of Vegas. And I'm going to deliver this message to people that have grown up in Vegas and they know what it's like at the Mirage. And I get a call out of the blue from my mother, out of the blue. And I told her I was in town for a conference. I had a meeting that canceled. I could come by and see you. And I did. Went and saw her. She gave me a hug, which my mother never gave me a hug. That was the first hug I ever got. Now, mind you, at that age, I'm in my late 30s. And she never apologizes for anything. She doesn't say anything at all. And I wasn't expecting an apology. But I told her that I forgave her and that I loved her. And I thanked her for the support. And everybody says I'm crazy, but no. Understand, they created me. My parents created me. They made me the man I am today. And I'm thankful for that. I don't hold any ill will towards anybody. And I definitely don't hold anything in. I let it out, right? So I see my mother. I get to give her a hug. I get to tell her I forgave her. She dies a week later, drug overdose. I come to pick up her belongings. I find the card, the medallion, in her purse. True story. Yeah, it's never left my side. I still have it sitting in my wallet with me. I travel everywhere with it. Fast forward 2 years later, I hear from my father. He's a homeless drug addict. HBO documentary special, HBO documentary special, drug addict. And he calls me. He says he needs some help. He's living in a crack house. He needs some food. He needs some clothes. He asked me for money. And I said, I'm not going to send you money, but I heard you. You need food. You need clothes. I'm going to send you food and clothes. And I told him I loved him and I forgave him. And I said that I'm sorry that you're in the position that you're in. And, you know, if there's anything I could do to help you, I'll help you. And he was thankful for that. He appreciated that. He said he loved me and he appreciated it. And he did say that he was proud of me and proud of the man I became. He died a week later. Drug overdose. But blessings. Because I got to reconnect with them and I got to take that weight off my shoulders. that was the best feeling in the world, to tell them that I forgave them. That's all I needed. I didn't need to hear, I'm sorry. I didn't need to hear, you know, all the, hey, I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. I don't need an apology. I forgive you. That's what I need. That's what we need. Everybody, when they need something, forgiveness is the best. And believe me, it's not for anyone else but you. That's the power that people have. That's the fighter in everybody. And forgiveness is the way. It will leave you in a whole nother world. You got to let go and you got to learn to forgive. It's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for your soul. So that's a little bit about Renovate Me. pretty deep, I know, I'm sure. But, you know, that's it. You know,
Vince, wow. First of all, I don't think I've ever been so quiet in a podcast. So bless you for even sharing that information, by the way. But you broke a legacy and started a legacy. So it ended with you and something else got started with you.
Yep.
Vince, how the heck? You didn't know how to be a dad. You were a kid.
Yeah, right? Kid.
You didn't know how to be successful in business. Tell me how did you get through that? What was inside of you to become the breaker of legacies? If that even makes sense to you.
I mean, Talk to me
about that for a second. That to me is just phenomenal. And everyone needs to hear this because it is truly, everyone has a legacy to break, honestly, even if it's just on the business side. But tell me how the heck you rose to the occasion to break a legacy and to start one.
You know, it really is back to what I've been saying throughout the whole podcast of a fighter, of having a warrior spirit. And, you know, the biggest thing for me that I learned with everything that I just shared with everybody and my whole life story is I will outwork you. I will out-hustle you. And make no mistake about it. If I want something, I'm going to create a need and I'm going to go get it. And there's nobody that can stop me. And that's how I've lived my life. When I got into the mortgage business 23 years ago, making $6 an hour, taking care of my kids, trying to live off of $6 an hour and raise two children, I knew that I needed more. I was destined for more. I knew that I had a gift. I had a hustle and I got heart and I got fire. I got that drive. And so I took that $6 an hour job. And I would take the files home and I would read stacks of loan documents and understand every single document in that loan package. I got to a point where I mastered the loan doc process. I could discuss a loan document with anybody at any time, and I could break it down better than most people that have been doing this their whole career. And I took that. And then next thing you know, I started answering questions around the office for people that were asking about the loan docs. And then next thing you know, I'm the office notary and I get to keep all the notary money. The branch manager was like, it's all yours. Do the signings, make your money, kid. I see you. You're hustling. And I started with notaries and I started to do really well. And then I jumped into the sales process. Now, mind you, you know, I'm a street kid. I'm young. I'm a single dad. I'm doing everything I can. And now I'm going to go jump into the sales process in the mortgage industry. And let me tell you, it was very challenging because I had all the obstacles to face. I was young, inexperienced loan officer, single dad. Never had any free time, always had to, you know, take care of my kids and be home. couldn't travel, couldn't do anything. Ex street kid, ex gang member. And all the things that I had to overcome. And then next thing you know, in the raising rate environment, I was selling 6.5-7% interest rates, 80-20 loans, 15% seconds. I know what we're facing in today's industry that everybody keeps saying is hard. You don't know hard. My story, okay, let me see if you still think it's hard after I share my story with you. And I had to overcome all that and hustle. And I did. And I built the name that I have today, Mr. Renovation, because I wanted to get out there and I needed to build something for my life, for me and my children. And that need is what created Mr. Renovation. That need is what got me to where I am in the industry. And I love it because I took a niche, I mastered it, and now I teach mortgage and real estate companies all over the country how to do it. Not only do I do speaking and not only do I do the book tour, but I still am Mr. Renovation and I do that for the mortgage and real estate industry. And so that, to answer your question, that is why I am where I am, because of that. I'm that fighter, that soul spirit of the warrior and everything that the brand is today. And again, you know, I'm hearing it all over. I'm hearing it at the conference here in Miami. And I'm telling people, you know, the interest rates are high, no inventory. That's stop. The problem is people need to learn how to go to work. They need to learn how to go back and go to work and roll up their sleeves and hit the streets and hit the pavement. That's, you got to hustle. The industry is calling for people to come to work and not just sit and do meetings and do Zoom calls all day. Go get out there, meet people, shake hands, go to events, get out there in the street, go door knocking, go hit neighborhoods, go work. That's the message. That's the message I'm hearing all over the industry right now. Yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at. So hopefully that answers your question about legacy and everything.
That answered my question. My goodness gracious. Yeah.
He answered and then some, right, J.A.?
that is for sure. That is for sure, Vince. My goodness.
So let me just say something, Vince, and maybe talk to this a little bit, because I think a softer way of talking about need is to say, what's your why? But when you define it as a need, a why is, this is why I get up in the morning and do the things that I do.
Yep.
It sounds like a need is a why that says, I cannot not get up and not go do that. That's the difference. So when we're talking about what's your why, what's your need? What drives you? What propels you against everything that's going to, there is no wall that's going to stop me. That's what a need becomes. Talk a little bit about that.
Failure is not an option. It is not an option for me. You know, my strength was knowing that I had two kids that depended on me and I was not going to let them see the street. I was not going to let them live the life that I lived. And, you know, that need to go out there and drive, failure was not an option for me. And really, it's a true statement, because if anything were to happen to me, if I couldn't provide, what was going to happen to my kids? They don't got nobody. I'm all they got. And they are all I got. I got no family. I have nothing. I have no family left. But I never had family as a kid, so I was used to it. But my kids, that's my family. And they are my why. They are my need. And so when I say failure is not an option, best believe it's not an option for me. And so that's why when I go to these conferences, And before I started doing inspirational speaking and before I started talking about the Renovate Me tour, I would go to mortgage conferences as Mr. Renovation, and everybody would talk about me and say, hey, yeah, that's Mr. Renovation. That's the renovation guy, you know, and best believe when I come into a conference, I'm coming to get some business. I'm going to take it. And so I'm not leaving here without opportunities, and I'm not leaving here without business. That's it. So that drive, that need is really, failure is not an option.
Yeah.
That's my life. That's how I've always lived my life. Every day I cannot fail.
Vince, my goodness. Time's up. Can you believe this? And we haven't even tapped into it yet, honestly. I mean, your story is far more than that. It's far more than that. I've had just a privilege of being able to sit down with you, and you've bared your soul and have shared with me so much of that story. And it's so much more. And the extreme privilege that you have given me to be able to go out there, that's, again, that legacy that I'm talking about is somebody who is willing to be brave enough to speak on what that is, because this is not normal stuff, man. Right. But for most people, it's what takes every excuse away.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, Vince, I am seriously, I would love to have you back someday and talk to you some more, especially when your new book comes out called Renovating Me, right? Yeah. I would love to be able to do that. But Vince, you know, we talk about the different well-beings in this and at La Trea, and we you've talked spiritual, you've talked relational, God help us all, you've talked relational, right? Absolutely every tip, I hope people were writing it down, because the tips that you've given from a business perspective stems from the deepest part of you. But there's that other side, because you don't need to be doing it. There's nothing about you that needs to go out and try to better other people.
Right.
And yet you do. And I know I held this book up earlier, right? But this Renovate Me book, like I said, when you first told me about it, I picked it up. I thought it was about the renovation loans. I thought I could study a little bit about you in this book about the renovation loans. Well, I did. I didn't realize you were renovating you.
Yeah, right? Yep.
And I want everyone that's listening to this thing to pick this book up. It's easy reading, by the way. Okay. But Vince,
it isn't easy.
Yeah, that's true, right? You get through it from a thickness standpoint, but it's not easy.
It's heart-wrenching.
Yes, absolutely. But Vince, the philanthropic side of you, you do not need to do anything for anybody in this world, but tell me what this book is going to go towards.
So all the proceeds from the book, all the residuals, everything that I get from the merchandise of the Renovate Me shirts and the brand and the book all get donated back to Child Haven and Mended Arrow foundations and things of that nature that support broken and lost children. Because, you know, I know I'm different, and I know you guys heard my story and you hear the success behind it, but a lot of kids get lost and they're not able to return from it. Suicide is a big deal. I fought suicide and depression on my own numerous years. I know what it's like. Suicide Prevention Month is, you know, currently still here. It's not over yet. And, you know, the thing is that if we could reach out and we can help these kids and help provide opportunities, give them words of inspiration and encouragement, that's what it's all about. That's why I help people. That's why I help others. And, you know, all the proceeds get donated back to those charities, and I don't keep a dollar of it. So,
Vince, again, I'm going to have you back on. And just thank you. Thank you for everything that you've shared today. And I'm going to have to end for today, but I want everyone to know that it will continue. So absolutely, we will have Vince back because he's a difference maker.
Yeah.
And I hope he was a difference maker for you. So Vince, any parting words before we go? And Paul, I'm going to ask you the same question here. Well, I'll start with you, Paul. Any parting words for Vince? And then I want Vince to give us a parting word.
Yeah. All I can say is, Vince, I hate that you had to go through what you went through. You didn't deserve it. It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. It wasn't what you signed up for. But what I can say, it's people like you that are given just the raw end of life as a kid, but you turn around and you make no, you're getting me choked up. You make no excuses and you say, failure's not an option and I'm going to do what it takes no matter what. If we could just get there without having to go through that experience, could you imagine what we could do as individuals, as moms and dads, as professionals, as human beings in this society? I hate that you went through it, but I love the inspiration that you give us, man, because I'll tell you, not many people can go through what you went through to give us what you're giving us today. Most people, by far, crumble and they never make it out of that. They just don't.
Yeah, that's true.
You didn't. And you're a shining light, dude. You are a shining light in this industry, but you're a shining light as a man and as a human being. And I got to tell you, thank God for you. And thank you for your message. And thank you for what you're doing, because you're inspiring so many people to live to greatness. And that's what this is all about. Far more than just closing loans and making money.
Yeah.
It's about being great people and inspiring others to greatness.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And, you know, the one message I will tell everybody to wrap this up is believe in you. You can do it. You can accomplish anything you want in this life. I'm living proof. And you got to have faith and you got to believe in you. You got to know that there's a purpose for you. There's a reason that you're here. And don't ever give up. Don't stop fighting. Let that inner warrior come out. Renovate you. You can do it. You can fix it. You can change. You could be unstoppable. Go take it. The world is yours. That's it.
Vince, God bless you, brother, man. And thank you so much again for touching not only us, the hosts, but everybody that's listening to this. And it will be it's a ripple effect.
Yep.
That's going to start from right here and it's going to continue on. And I just want to say thank you again, brother. And again, nothing here. Nothing here that I heard was you even coming close to apologizing or anything like that for anything that's happened, because it's made you the man who you are, and you must save some people out here right now. So take that one to the bank. And brother, thank you again. And we will see you again real soon, right?
Yes, definitely. I really appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Vince.
God bless you, brother.
Yep. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Failure is not an option, right? There's so many pieces that were there. Failure is not an option. I love the quote that he said, which was, I am not leaving here without the business. Did you hear him say that?
Jay, right? Vince wasn't facing what was hard.
Right.
Vince was facing what was impossible, but yet he did it anyway. Right. And I'm telling you, every single sales professional that is out there today giving up because this is a hard market, I love what Vince says. You don't know what hard is.
True.
Business is one thing. Life is completely different. And so it's not a judgment. It's not a shaming. It's a source of encouragement to say, listen, get out there, believe in yourself. get tenacious, don't give up, do whatever it takes, and don't accept failure as an excuse. Get beyond it, do what it takes. That's why we're here, because we want to partner with people who want to get over that hump. That's why we exist. And that's why we bring people like Vince on to show you that you can do this. You can get there.
And Paul, as I come to a close, right, I hope our audience really heard it. When I think about this interview, what I really think about the words that he gave as one word teaching points, forgive, one of the hardest things to do ever is forgive. And then be thankful. Think about that story we just heard, right? Can any of us ever be thankful enough for that, right? Would you even begin to be thankful about that? But the word understanding came up. Can you imagine trying to understand the situation you're in right now? Whatever that situation is, I'm not diminishing what you're going through, but I want you to dig even deeper, because this 15-year-old, this 11-year-old, this 12-year-old had to dig deep. Then here's a huge word, right, is reconnect, and the last one being love. Could you love? Honestly, having gone through that, reconnecting, loving, forgiving, thanking, and understanding.
Yeah. If anyone had an excuse not to do that, it was Vince, but he chose a better way. And as a result, he's given us something special.
Absolutely. And those of you that are here, Paul, I'm going to say goodbye to you as well. I can't even say the word great shows, right? It's a great show because it's just been such a heartful show.
Yeah, and this was a message. It wasn't a show. It was a message.
It was 100%. So, Paul, thank you for that. And for everyone else that's listening, guys, please renovate me. Pick it up. Go buy more of it. And let's take care of some kids out there. Yeah. Because not everybody would be as strong as Vince would be. So this is Latreo. And if you did enjoy and have learned a lot from this, and you don't want to miss a certain any more of the episodes, please subscribe. And we love you all. And I can't say enough. Vince Napolitan, Mr. Renovate, unbelievable. God bless you all. Take care. Take care, Paul.
Bye-bye. Bye.